Well, good evening. I want to just mention something as we get started this evening, about the sign language and the deaf ministry. We want to find other opportunities to reach people. Amen? And so maybe you're saying, you know, I'm just not good at getting up and standing up and speaking in front of people. This is your ministry. There you go. No, okay. But I will say this. Maybe you're like, you know, I'm not good at that. Some people are going to start from zero. You say, I'm not sure. Can I just like see? Yeah. Come and taste and see, right? Just try it and see if it's something. And if you're interested, you know, just kind of partake a little bit and maybe see if it's something that would be what the Lord would use you in that capacity. And so, we'll talk about that more. But let me know if you're interested. We're not putting together a list yet, but it's trying to find out the interest. And so if you're like, well, I'm interested, but I'll wait, let me know that you're interested so we can go forward with it. That's kind of where we're at. Leviticus chapter 1 tonight. We're going to be preaching the message out of the book of Leviticus to get us started. How many here are going through the Bible reading? Thank you. This is going to be a long night. Okay, how many are doing that? Is some of y'all doing that? Four of us. Okay, no. Okay, good. You know, when you do that, you know, for me, the message usually that I bring on the Sunday nights here and there that I do is just what God speaks to me as I'm going through, and so really as I've been reading through this. Some of the New Testament, some of these areas, it's just something God spoke to my heart about, and I want to share the message God shared with me. How about that tonight? So it'll be a little bit of a Bible study tonight. Hope that's all right. If you got your Bibles with you, if you don't, we have you covered. There's one right in front of you in the pew. Use that. Leviticus chapter 1, and we're going to begin here in verse 1. And the Lord called unto Moses and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, If any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, ye shall bring an offering of the cattle, even of the herd and of the flock. It is if his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. Let's go ahead and go to Lord prayer as we get started tonight. Our Father, we are thankful, Lord, for the opportunity to be gathered together here tonight. Lord, we come as a people that need to hear from God. And Lord, we desire to hear your truth, your word. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to each heart tonight. Lord, I pray that you would help us meet the need that's upon our heart and our lives. And Lord, I pray that you would, Lord, edify us and do that which would be profitable in each of our lives tonight. And Lord, we'll be careful to give you the praise, glory, and the honor for it. Now, in Jesus' name, amen. So we find here the burnt offering. Though there were specific appointed times that we'd find that the burnt offering was to be offered. This was an offering that he's talking about here that was offered at voluntary times. It was voluntarily at the will to give this. This would be an offering. The offering there would really be an acknowledging of the sin nature of man. Maybe it was the result of just conviction. You know, maybe they were talking about the love of God and as we were just a bit ago already tonight, and talking about something that just stirred their heart about how great God is. And they said, you know, I just want to show God to love him, you know. So I'm going to go slaughter this animal. I know it's kind of weird. We're going to get into that a little bit. We're going to get a little deep into this. So it is what it is, all right? But there was a way. Maybe there was a revival. Maybe there was something, and through history at different times that something happened, and God gave the victory, whatever it was, and it stirred hearts, and people decided, you know, I just want to give God. I just want to let God know. Not really let him know. I just want to do something. You ever just had it kind of bubbling up in you? You know what I mean? What do I do? I want to just praise the Lord, and, you know, you stand out in the street, praise the Lord. You just look weird. You know what I mean? And so you're like, what can we do? As a missionary traveling for years, and we would go into places, and when people love the Lord, a lot of times they would demonstrate their love to missionaries. We'd have people come up at times, give us, I mean, just a lot of money at times. Somebody, you know, the loaded handshake, you know what I mean? They would kind of come up and you pull back and it's green, but not paying, you know what I mean? Like the kind you like. When I first started, I'm like, I don't know if this is right. I'd go, Pastor, these folks gave me this, and I don't know what to do. He's like, well, just keep it and praise the Lord. I thought, okay. It was, all right, is that all right? You know what I mean? And what I realized over time is when people love the Lord, sometimes they just want an outlet. You know, how do I do that? Give an offering. We give an offering, and sometimes we give an offering to buy something or to do things. It's just, we just want to show because God is great. So them, they killed animals. But it was given voluntary. I want that thought to be there. It was a voluntary gift. And for those that couldn't afford a cattle, they could give birds. You know, so it wasn't really meant for, well, yeah, they gave of their excess. You know, they could. Well, there's also a way that God made a way that those that want to do this as well, you know, a couple turtle doves and a turtle dove and so forth, and wring its neck and so these kind of things, you know. where you see it. You know, this was an offering. Even somebody that wasn't born a Jew could also give this burnt offering. Really amazing thing. What God did. So those that wanted to just voluntarily show their love to the Lord gave them this way. But then we see the next one over in chapter 4 is the ignorance offering. Chapter 4, verse 1. It said, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a soul shall sin through ignorance against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which ought not to be done, and shall do against any of them, if the priest that is anointed do sin according to the sin of the people, then let him bring for sin which he has sinned a young bullock with blemish unto the Lord for a sin offering. So we find here a sin offering is offered for a sin that was done in ignorance. You know, sin of ignorance, maybe we'd say an accidental sin. You know, you ever said, well, I didn't mean to say that. You ever done that today, right? You know, you're driving, and other people ought to be better than me, but that's why I don't put markings on my car, because I could do an accident, accidentally cut somebody off. No, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Just, I've had people wave at me, you know, not in a friendly way. And I'm like, seriously, I'm like, what did I do? I've seen people get mad us pulling out of this parking lot. I hate it because I'm like, man, I've waited. You're doing like 70 still, you know? You know what I'm saying? I want to just hold up a sign, slow down, and that's why, you know, but sometimes people get angry, you know, but sometimes we could do something accidentally, you know, and maybe in this thing. Not a sin, not a sin that was, that you were purposefully set out to commit, right? Or was knowingly done in disregard to the Lord's will. I know what God wants me to do, but I'm going to do what I want anyway. That ain't this, right? That ain't this at all. Well, I didn't know. No, we can't trick God. I didn't know God. That's a bummer. It really don't work like that. God knows. He knows the heart. You ever tried to lie to God? I mean, like, not lie, but just, well, God, I really meant, don't do that. Just save your thought energy. You know what I mean? because we don't even get it out here. It's still up here. It's like, oh, God, I love people say this. Well, God knows my intents. Yeah, he does. We're so dumb sometimes. But God isn't. He knows. But listen, God made a way. Sometimes we do those things and unwittingly and unknowingly. And those things happen. It was maybe a mistake or is unwittingly done here. And so maybe it not only accidental, but you just didn't realize you committed a sin. And I'm telling you, you read through, there's more than 10 commandments. You know what I'm saying? I mean, yeah, it's those of y'all that just read through this, you're like, wow. I'm reading through the offerings and what they do. And I'm just like, man, my mind is just okay. Because I'm the kind of person that wants to like get, when I'm reading, I want to get every piece. And I'm trying to picture this in my mind. And I'm like, I can't. It is sometimes, it's so much. And there's times that, you know, I can imagine at that day, there's this and somebody just makes a mistake. Like, you know, you step this way when you say, you know what I mean? Different things. And so there's this thing of sometimes it's this accidental thing, but then at some point it came to your attention that a sin has been committed. So that happens to us sometimes. Somebody will come and say, you know, I'm asking a question, but you have. You know, you're talking to somebody and you say something, you think you're just having a good conversation. And afterwards, you go away and just like, whatever, you're not thinking anybody. And you find out later that person is mad. They're angry. You said something and they took it one way, or you said something and you probably, maybe we didn't soften it as well. And they're upset and you realize they're upset. You hurt them. You offended them. And it gets brought to your attention later on. Now, you didn't mean to do it, weren't intending to do it, but it got done, right? And somebody said, well, they're upset. Well, they just need to get over it. That's kind of, to be honest, that's kind of, well, that's, you know, that's on them, right? That's kind of how we, okay, maybe that's how me, y'all aren't like that, but I've heard of people that are like that, you know, that, and so our natural reaction in the flesh and in the human nature is, well, that's not a big deal. They shouldn't have got offended. I there's a lot of times people shouldn't, but probably there's a lot of times we shouldn't have said it the way we said it too, right? And so here's what he's talking about. When something gets brought to our attention, maybe just God brings it to our attention. Maybe somebody else does. It gets brought to our attention, and that this, he said, listen, there is an offering that when you didn't do it on purpose, but you did something, and later on it got brought to your attention that you did it, that you ought to deal with it, and here's a way to deal with it. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? Wow. Sorry, God. I didn't mean to do that, but since I did it, let me deal with this thing. And then the third one we're going to mention is the trespass offering. Look at chapter 5. We're not going to deal with everything in here, just a few. Chapter 5 and verse 1. He said, and if a soul sin and hear the voice of swearing and is a witness, whether he has seen or know of it, if he do not utter it, then he shall bear his iniquity. Now this one's a little bit hairy. This one gets a little bit, this isn't about one that actually swore themselves, but one that heard the swearing. There's different thoughts on what exactly that's speaking of and different ideas on, we're not going to deal with all the theology and exactly, but in the context, it seems to me this, that one that heard something that was wrong or in error, and did not speak about it. You ever heard somebody kind of twist the truth? I mean, not flat out lie, but they just, you know, I mean, just evangelistically speaking. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, you know, I think we walked 5 miles to get here. You look over at them like it was 2 blocks. You know what I'm saying? You're something like that. And there's this kind of situation, maybe we heard something and there's something that's gone down like that. And you heard this error and you were in the midst of what happened and you heard it and you did nothing about it. Didn't say it, didn't, but you just happened to hear it. He says, there's this, it's a, he said, if and a soul sins in this thing, you mean I'm accountable for what even other people say? Isn't that a ripoff? Yeah. You know what I mean? I even have to be accountable for what I hear. Come on. Oh, okay. I found it more hilarious. Look at verse 2 now. He goes on. He said, or if a soul touch any unclean thing, whether it be a carcass of an unclean beast or carcass of an unclean cattle or the carcass of an unclean creeping things, and if it be hidden from him, he also shall be unclean and guilty. Or if he touch the uncleanness of man, whatsoever uncleanness it be, that a man shall be defiled withal, and it be hid from him, when he knoweth of it, then he shall be guilty. Okay, I mean, listen, it's like here we find not only hearing something that's unclean, but if you touch something unclean that you didn't know was unclean. I mean, you know, somebody was unclean because they touched a carcass, right? Or they happened to walk by and they touched the back of a pig and like, oh man, I wasn't supposed to do that, right? And they hit that thing. Now they're unclean till evening, right? And you come by and you say, hey, what's going on, buddy? And you didn't know. You didn't know. You didn't know you touched somebody that was unclean and you went on with your life. And later on that day, you said, hey, where's so-and-so at? Oh, yeah, they're unclean. They're at home. They're like, they're unclean. I touched him. Isn't that weird? I mean, this is what the law was dealing with. We're going to get to all this in a minute. But this, he said, so, but if that happens and you find that you accidentally, or you touched somebody, but you didn't know they were unclean, and now by touching them, you became unclean. You've sinned. You've sinned, and now there's an offering how to deal with it. Even the fact that it was hidden from you doesn't. Now then, look thirdly on verse 4 there. Or if a soul swear, pronouncing with his lips to do evil or to do good, whatsoever it be that a man shall pronounce with an oath, and it be hid from him, when he knoweth of it, then he shall be guilty in one of these. Now, so we find then this third thing. If you've, you're to hear no evil, touch no evil, and speak no evil, right? So this is the sin of making an oath without really considering what you vowed. You ever done that? You ever like made a promise? Yeah, I promise you. You know, I promise you. If you do this or that or this thing happens, you make a commitment that, and you didn't realize that commitment is more than you can actually do. Right? Anybody that comes next week, I'll give them a $5 bill, and then you got like 1,000 people coming. You're like, oh, I wasn't. You know, we talked about, Pastor Meyer talked about last week that story of David with Nabal, and he said there in 1 Samuel 25:22, he said this. David said, "So and more also do God unto the enemies of David, if I leave all that pertaineth to him by the morning light that pisseth against the wall." He said, if I leave any, if I don't kill everyone and destroy everyone, God do to my enemies what, you know, so forth and this. He say, if this happens, then this is going to be the problem. The same. And really what he was saying, really he ought not have said. It was a vow he made that wasn't smart. It wasn't a good vow. And sometimes we say stuff in a moment, right? And you go, and later on, we realize, okay, that was a bad idea. You ever said something you wish you didn't? Today, right? You know what I mean? Saying we kind of do that. And this is what he's talking about, these things that, and I'm just trying to say, we're starting, this is really, this is our introduction. This evening is this. We find these things that, these offerings that were done out of ignorance, an accident, unknowing, just heard it, willingly, you just decide, I want to make an offering because I want to. I just want to show my love to God. And here's a question I want us to ask tonight. Does that really matter to God? Does it really matter to God? You know, I hear this phrase often in some form or another. In this way, it says it kind of in this way, I don't think that really matters to God. It's almost always by those that would like to do less for God. Nobody says, I don't think it really matters to God, and then does more for God. It's more usually in the sense of, I don't think it really matters to God, so I'm going to do what doesn't matter to him, but it matters to me. In other words, I'm going to do what kind of what I like, because I don't think it matters to God. I think it becomes something that we get in our mind, this type of thinking. Not something that comes from the Lord at all. That doesn't come from the Spirit of God, that it doesn't matter to him. It comes from the spirit of man, which, by the way, we all have that. We'll say something, I just don't think God is concerned about that. Some people often is the one, I don't think God is concerned about what we wear. You know, it's interesting, when Adam and Eve sinned, they took a leaf, right? Covered themselves. God said, whatever you want to do, it doesn't matter. Actually, when God seen him, he said, I'm going to cover you with something more than that. By the way, let me get to that later. It does things to get this idea that things don't matter to God. Sometimes we'll say this, and I'll hear this, I don't think it matters, really matters to God what kind of language we use. Some of the people that out there in society today that are claiming to be Christian, apologists and so forth, some of the language that they use, and I don't just mean cursing and filthy language like that, I just mean some of, like, just crude language. You know what I'm saying? Just kind of some corrupt communication, just things that aren't, if you heard somebody say, you're like, okay, are they trying to go gangster mode? Are they trying to go hood? Are they trying to be mafia? What are they trying to do here? You know what I'm saying? It's like there's something different. I don't think it really matters to God if somebody kind of, I remember when I was, it's been probably, I don't maybe, I don't think it's as much today, but probably, about 20 years ago, the thing was for everybody to wear their pants low. And they just wear them low, and they walk around, and you'd ask one, say, why are you wearing your pants like that? Because I don't want to be like everybody else. I want to be cool. And then you see a line of like eight of them all walking, the same exact, I just want to be, I don't want to be like everybody else. Just, it's, and we could get this, and this is at church, by the way, this is going on the church bus or something, youth group or something. You're like, what's, we can get this thinking that says God doesn't really care about what we put into our bodies or onto our bodies. I'm telling you, I've seen in the last, I don't know, maybe it's been going on longer, but there has been this something about the tattooing the body that has just taken off in society. It is, I don't know, it just came all of a sudden. The things come and I don't notice them, and all of a sudden it's well in. I'm like, okay, that's going on. But I don't, I've heard people say, I don't think really God is concerned about that. I don't think God's concerned if I actually come to church. I could worship him at the lake, right? Pastor mentioned, we talk about, let's all just go lake worship. That's called hobby. This isn't a hobby, right? This isn't a hobby. I don't know, sometimes hunting, I don't know how hunting's a hobby. As much effort as, anyway, that's a different deal. So this type of thinking that God isn't really interested in the details is actually quite foreign to the God of the Bible. See, the God of the Bible isn't really, that thinking that God isn't really interested really is a different character altogether. We find that even in these things that are accidentally done or happen in our presence, God dealt with it in quite a bit of detail. I want us to notice again at the offering of the burnt offering there again in Leviticus chapter 1. Leviticus chapter 1 and verse 4, he said, and he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering. And then in verse 5, he said, and he shall kill the bullock before the Lord. And the priest, Aaron's son, shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood round about upon the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he shall flay the burnt offering and cut it into his pieces. And the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall put fire upon the altar and lay the wood in order upon the fire. And the priests, Aaron's sons, shall lay the parts, the head and the fat, in order upon the wood that is on the fire, which is upon the altar. But his inwards and his legs shall he wash in water. And the priest shall burn all on the altar to be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. I'm telling you, this just sounds like God said, you know, just whatever. Right? Just, you know, what? Just, you know, as long as you're trying. No. As long as you just come to church, any church. I hear this so often. I've heard, well, at least they're going to church. Man, sometimes what's called church today, I think it's better that they don't go. Honestly, I mean that. I mean that wholehearted. I would rather see somebody that's not all mixed up in some of the things that's calling itself church today and they come and hear the gospel rather than trying to get all that stuff mixed up in their minds. And I don't mean they got to be just like us. I'm not trying to say that. But I mean some things that are out there, they call church, it's, well, we got some in town. You know what I'm saying? Different things. And so, listen, we find these things and all this going on. Look at verse 14. And if the burnt sacrifice for his offering to the Lord be of fowls, then he shall bring his offering of turtle doves or of young pigeons, and the priest shall bring it unto the altar and wring off his head and burn it on the altar. And the blood thereof shall be wrung out at the side of the altar. And he shall pluck away his crop with his feathers and cast it beside the altar on the east part by the place of the ashes. And he shall cleave it with the wings thereof, but shall not divide it asunder. And the priest shall burn it upon the altar upon the wood that is upon the fire. It is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. I'm telling you, I'd be afraid I'd mess that up. I'm just saying there's detail. God just said, do this, don't do that. No, put it there. And don't put it on the east side, not on the west, the north side. Put it here and put it. I'm just saying there's stuff going on there. This does not sound like a God that's not interested in the details. Now, notice the process for the sin offering there in chapter 4. Chapter 4 and verse 4. He said, And he shall bring the bullock unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, and shall lay his hand upon the bullock's head and kill the bullock before the Lord. And the priest that is anointed shall take of the bullock's blood and bring it to the tabernacle of the congregation. The priest shall dip his finger in the blood and sprinkle of the blood seven times before the Lord, before the veil of the sanctuary. And the priest shall put some of the blood upon the horns of the altar of sweet incense before the Lord, which is in the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall pour all of the blood of the bullock at the bottom of the altar of the burnt offering, which is at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he shall take off from it all the fat of the bullock for the sin offering, the fat that covereth the inwards, and all the fat that is upon the inwards, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is upon them, which is by the flanks, and the caul above the liver with the kidneys, and it shall be taken away. I mean, I'm telling you, you got to be a butcher to be a priest. You know what I'm saying? I mean, this is something else. And he goes on here, verse 10, he said, and it was taken off from the bullock of the sacrifice of peace offering, and the priest shall burn them upon the altar of the burnt offering. And the skin of the bullock and with all his flesh, with his head and with his legs and with his inwards and his dung, even the whole bullock shall he carry forth without the camp unto a clean place where the ashes are poured out, and burn him on the wood with fire. Where the ashes are poured out shall he be burnt. Listen, I'm saying this process is still different from the other process, but still quite detailed. So if you're doing this offering, here's how it's going to be done. You're going to do this, you're going to do this, and pour all the blood in this. But this one, you're going to do this, you're going to get some of the blood and do this, you're going to sprinkle this here 7 times over here. I'm just saying it's detail. Can I tell you, God is interested in the details. Look at chapter 9. Leviticus chapter 9. Verse 22. And Aaron lifted up his hand toward the people and blessed them, and came down from offering of the sin offering and the burnt offering and peace offerings. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out and blessed the people. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people, and there came a fire out from before the Lord and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when all the people saw, they shouted and fell on their faces. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. You see, listen. And verse 3, then Moses said unto Aaron, that this is it that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me. And before all the people I will be glorified. I'm just telling you, in the celebration of what was going on, God brought fire down and received that offering. It was a great time. Wonderful time. God's blessings were there. And the sons of Aaron said, This is great. This is exciting. And so they get their, they did not follow, though, the detailed plan. What this strange fire was is not exactly known. It doesn't necessarily, maybe it means just strange, as it wasn't off the altar, which that would be enough. But the thing is, it wasn't according to the detailed plan of God. God was to be glorified. That's what I'm saying to you tonight, folks. God is to be glorified in us. And those that come near to him were to be sanctified, were to be set apart. God's plan wasn't to make life difficult for them. I know it looks like that. The idea here was that God is not just like the other gods. He's not like the little g gods. He's not like the altars that some guy set down and carved out and said, here's a god. Yeah, you know, he's not like a calf that a bunch of gold was put together and this thing was kind of formed and said, well, there's your god. No. He's a god that is heard yet not seen, you see. Listen, he is a god that's there. And he said, listen, when people come to me, it's not going to be like they do it everywhere else. It's going to be different. I'm going to be glorified. People are going to be sanctified that approach me. What he's saying there. God had a plan in this Levitical law. Look at now chapter 20. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 22. He said, ye shall therefore keep all my statutes and all my judgments and do them, and that the land, whether I bring you to dwell therein, spew you not out. And you shall not walk in the manners of the nation which I cast out before you, for they committed all these things, and therefore I abhorred them. Look down, drop down to verse 26. And ye shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have severed you from other people, that ye should be mine. I'm just saying tonight this, there was to be a noticeable difference in God's people. So I want you to, I want all the people that see you. I'm just saying tonight, folks, God wants us to be noticeably different. Doesn't it feel like we're trying to see how well we can fit in? You want me to tell you where that new line is? Wouldn't you like me to tell you that? Thing is, the law is finished. Amen? Yeah. Well, listen. There's no longer a law. There's no longer a law that has specific details on how to offer and sacrifice to God. Praise the Lord for that. I'm telling you, these passages are gory. I was thinking about that as I was studying this and reading it, and I thought, man, move the pews back. We're all going to kind of sit here, put a lot of plastic down, you know, and pastor's going to go through and his son, you know, the priest, you know, they're going to do this because I'm going to stay back and I'm going to stay back. But they're going to do this thing, right? Let's go recording the law. I'm telling you, there'd be people sitting around vomiting. We'd need, you know what I'm saying? We couldn't handle it. We ain't got a stomach for this stuff. I'm telling you, it's gory. It'd be fun to watch some people it'd be interesting. I think it'd be interesting to see people would probably call us satanic for doing it. Right? I mean, it'd look creepy. I'm saying all that to say this, praise the Lord. Amen. Man. I would tell you, you could be a Christian, but you got to slaughter lambs. I'm out. You know what I mean? It'd be a different, I don't know. Anyway, let me just move on. But I want to say that God is the law is left behind, but I do want to say this. God hasn't left off on his character. I mean, right? He didn't stop being the God of details. Well, I was just kind of really for fun over there. But now over here, listen, back there it was important, but over here, you know, whatever. Does that even make sense to anybody? The God that really cared, I mean, you know, you read about, I mean, we're going to go, by the way, we're going to be going on a trip to go see the Ark. How many here have never seen that, the Ark? Wow, how many have seen the Ark? Y'all are old. No, and some of y'all get it late. Okay, so, sorry, I set y'all up. All right, I'm just seeing who all's awake. All right, we're going to go see that. And, you know, they built that thing. They were able to build it to specs because there's a lot of specs. There's a lot of details. We find all over different places build the tabernacle and build all those things because there's so much detail. You read through that and they've got this thing and that thing. It's just hard for me to wrap my mind around it. I mean, there's this thing, it's this long, and it has this thing and this cup and this. I don't even know what it means. You know, they're using words and things and this, and you're like, man, and I'm glad somebody else built that because, oh, okay. But there's so many details we can do that. So the God that was so detailed in everything he did, by the way, didn't start with the law, it started even back there with the ark. Just built a good ship, big one. Bunch of animals could go into it. How would we do that? You can figure it out. No, this wasn't just the law. You see what I'm saying? This is God. This is God. This is who he is. It's who his nature is. It's who his character is. So instead of, though, for a list of rules for us to dictate our separation under the condition of penalty, right, it's now an opportunity for us to demonstrate our own separation unto God. You see, It's no longer a law. See, here's the problem, I think, for us is, for me. Let me talk about me. Problem for me is I want to be told exactly what to do. Tell me what to do. Do it. Then, okay, I did it right. And if you don't like what I did, then I say, well, I did what you wanted me to do, God. Right? God, you told me to do this. I did it. And so now I'm good. And God said, well, okay, you followed the rules. Do you love me? Well, Lord, you know I love you, you know, right? We see this whole thing, and well, well, Lord, I'll show you how I love you. I'll do exactly what you want me to do. And God said, well, now it's going to be a little bit different situation. I don't want you to just follow a list of rules. I want you to serve, and I want you to make a choice because you love me. You do this because you love me. So if your life is a picture of your love, you know, I think about this. Pastor talks about him and his wife's relationship all the time. It almost sounds like they like each other, right? They like to be together. Let me ask you this. If your love for your husband or your wife was indicated by how much time you spent with each other, that's it. That's the only thing. Well, I do other. No, no, no. Not the other things you do. Not anything else. Just how much time you spend with that person. That was the only indicator. When people would look at you and watch you, well, you know, that's private. No, it isn't actually. It actually isn't supposed to be. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, PDA. I'm not talking about that, right? Public displays of affection. Anyway, I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about spending time together. Listen, God said, now, so if I tell my wife, listen, I don't want to actually be with you, around you, but y'all give you a credit card. She's like, oh, he loves me so much, right? Well, maybe while she's going shopping, maybe. But that goes away, you understand? So what I'm saying in this way is now God says, I want you to, now it's not a list of rules, a list of laws and exact. Now I want you to show your love and show your desire. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Second Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. It says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. And as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I'll be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. It's as if God still says, don't touch the unclean thing. Well, not as if, it actually exactly said that. He's still saying the same thing. He still desires the same thing from us. Just now there's a little bit different way that we demonstrate that. Listen, the Lord is still concerned with us being set apart, whether it's in participation, as you said, in fellowship. I fellowship with believers. I minister to unbelievers. You see the difference? You see, I don't know how a Christian can say, I have a best friend, but my best friend isn't saved and they don't go to church. How is that your best friend? In prayer meetings, somebody said, we pray for such and such. They're my best friend. And I'd ask this question, are they saved? I don't really know. You're a terrible friend. Terrible friend. By the way, here's what the Lord said. I didn't make, folks, I'm not making up rules for you. The Lord said there, he said, listen, be not unequally yoked together. What is that? Well, that's just talking about marriage. No, he goes on. He says, for what fellowship hath righteousness? He said, listen, whether it's in participation or in communion and this life together, or even in an agreement. He said, well, we might as well put idols in church. Let's just put a Buddha statue down here. Same thing. It really is what he's saying. It's in the same context. Well, that's not. I'm just saying this is what's going on. We are to be separated. Listen, we are to be separated, saith the Lord. We're to be separate. It ought to still be obvious that we're different. It ought to still be obvious that we're different. Look at Matthew chapter 5. I said we're going to do a Bible study tonight, right? I said that? You didn't prepare this, right? Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. And he said, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house." Verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." You know, we're to shine as maybe like a, I don't know, like a lighthouse. Just pull that one out, right? We're not to be hid among the world. It'd be kind of a bad idea for the lighthouse to be kind of set out here to where it's in the middle of the water. And you couldn't tell the difference between the water and the lighthouse. I mean, the idea was to keep ships from crashing into the rocks that are around it. Stay away, right? Listen, I'm just saying what he's saying here. There's supposed to be something that's different enough. Would somebody come to you and say, "Hey, you look, I just imagine, you're probably a Christian, aren't you?" I'm saying, what a glory that is. I don't know if that gets us notches in our belt. But it kind of feels like when somebody comes up and says, "Are you a Christian?" Thank you for saying that. You know what I mean? It should be like that. What's bad is when somebody come up, "You're a Christian? Man, I never knew that." That should be shame. It really should. What we're talking about here is this, that we're meant to be different. We're meant to be set apart. We're to shine, not to be hid among the world, but or undercover. When I mean undercover, we're not to just try to blend in with the world. Folks, I know some of y'all are thinking already, what is he talking about? Because I know that's what I would be thinking, right? I would be thinking the same thing. What is he talking about? Does he mean we need to dress like Little House on the Prairie? Right? Do we need to? I think there's a, and I'm going to give just my opinion here. I think there's a difference between looking set apart and looking ridiculous. I do. I think sometimes we can look so ridiculous the world is like, "Man, they're going to like want to cast out demons." You know what I mean? I think there's a line that we can, I think there is something there. I'm not trying to say we ought not be ridiculous, but I really believe this though. If we purpose to be set apart for the Lord, for the Lord's sake, we're not going to be ridiculous. Now, when a lot of times what will happen, though, is we want to be set apart so other Christians can know how Christian-y I am. That ain't going to work. Now you're going to look ridiculous, and you're going to feel ridiculous, and you're going to be ridiculous, right? We've all been there. Well, I've been there. You're like, "Bless God." And, you know, and by the time you're done, you find out, okay, wonder why nobody ever talks to me. Wonder why when I go to talk to somebody about the Lord, they're like, "Yeah, I don't," you know what I'm saying? I'm not talking about, listen, but there ought to be something in us that's on purpose, set apart. God intends for us to still be obviously set apart. The world, as well as other believers, they need to see us. They need to see us with a heart that loves God. Not just what we dress like. What our spirit looks like. We ought to be close enough with God that He rubs off on us. And I mean, I don't just mean by how we look on the outside. That ain't good enough. But how we look at others. Our compassion. God's compassion rubs off on us. It ought to be so obvious that, you know what, if somebody says, people ought to just realize, by the way, other believers, God gives us a great ministry to exhort one another. Now, that's not it. That's why we're here. We go out, you know, and do other things and reach the lost. But there ought to be this thing that we're enough that people, I'm telling you. Look with me, last verse, 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And then we're about to be done. I've never win sword drills. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 9. It says, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world or with the covetous or extortioners or with idolaters, but for then must ye needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner, with such a one, know not to eat. Does it really matter to God? Does it really matter? I think if I can maybe help you to do this tonight is quit saying that. If you do say that, maybe you don't, hopefully, but some of us will say that, well, I don't know if that really matters to God. It does. If there's an it does matter to God. I don't think God is really concerned about, I think God's concerned about every single thing. Right? We say that, don't we? We believe God knows what's going on in our life. He's worried about, he's concerned, he's interested in every piece of our, we say that, we believe that, don't we? Then probably we would have to carry that same character into everything that we're going to do also matters to God. And God says this, he's in the details. He said, listen, whether that's somebody that's lost, can we just see this tonight? That God, the God of Leviticus, the God of detail, the God of separation, is still the God of the New Testament. Amen? Let us not be counted among those that say, I don't think God is really concerned with. That statement, that kind of statement's a reflection of us desiring to participate, to communicate, and to associate with the world. God is in the God of the details. Which doesn't mean that I'm going to give you my list. You know something that's interesting about this? Now God has a personal relationship with me. There's some things that God's going to speak to my heart about that he may not specifically in detail in your life. There's some general things that God has for all of us. But you know, you don't look to me for your list. Right? But if you listen, the God of detail will give you a list that'll help you to be purposefully distinguishable by those, by believers and by the world around you. And God will be glorified. What a wonderful thing.